House Committee on Judiciary, May 15th, 1985, work session, full committee. Bills to be considered are House Bills 2258, 2428, 2424, 2730, 2651, 2516, 2256, 2222, 2217, 2216, 2460, Senate Bills 176 and 573, House Bills 2757 and 2711.
We're going to part slightly from our printed agenda and take up a couple of bills out of order to accommodate some scheduling problems for those parties who have an interest in to those measures, and those are 2216 and 2217 House bills. If council could introduce those bills to us, advise us of the action taken in subcommittee, and then I'll recognize Representative Bond.
House Bill 2216 deals with changing the law on charitable trusts, and at the last subcommittee meeting, we adopted several sets of amendments, and they included a set of amendments exempting nursing retirement homes from certain portions of the Act. Adopted amendments affecting the fee structure, and we adopted amendments exempting educational institutions and certain educational foundations from the Act. You have in front of you a copy of a hand-wrote version of the bill as it presently stands from the subcommittee. We had legislative council combine all the amendments passed the subcommittees, and those are designated as LC 2216-5.
Okay, and all those amendments were adopted in the subcommittee, were they not?
Correct.
In 2216?
Correct.
Okay. Are there any questions at this point? Let me recognize Representative Bunn, I guess generally to the subject of 2216 or 2217. I understand there's been some discussion of the action that's appropriate if we consider these measures favorably. And let me, before I recognize Representative Bunn, let me ask which of the two bills, 2216 or 2217, or both have a subsequent re-referral?
2216 has a referral Ways and Means, as does 2217.
Both bills.
Correct.
And the amendments have not changed the need for that referral, have they?
I don't believe so.
Representative,
Mr. Chairman, as was mentioned in the subcommittee, we adopted amendments, some of which were proposed by John Eby, to put a cap on the fees of $100. And we had indicated to the Attorney General's office that we were interested in knowing what that would do to their program. It became obvious after visiting with the Attorney General's office that if we kept the caps in place, it would decimate their program to the point where they could not effectively operate the current program. So I met with John Eby to discuss some alterations to the earlier subcommittee work. And we have come to agreement on what would be considered a compromise that I would like to outline briefly and then ask Mr. Eby, if I could, to come forward perhaps and confirm whether I've missed anything or not in that proposal. First, we would continue the exemption for the nursing and retirement homes and the foundations such as the OSU Foundation so that they would not be included in coverage of the bill. We would undo our amendments that put a $100 cap and replace it with amendments that are made available today, which I requested that the Attorney General's office draft, which puts a cap at a higher level. In addition to changing that cap, we would put in an amendment that would take out a charge. There's currently a charge on the assets of the various nonprofit organizations, we would take that charge out for the operating charities, such as the Shakespearean Festival and those types of groups. Those are changes to 2216. 2217 would further be changed where we reduced the filing fee for a professional fundraiser from $500 to $100, which was an effort that I had proposed to the committee. We would raise that to $250 to give some additional funds to the Attorney General's office. And we would continue to leave out the bond. Now, these changes and conditions that Mr. Eby would like to add to that were done with the understanding that several items would be put on the list of matters for the Judiciary Interim Committee to study, and the chairman's indication of a favorable reaction to that. And those items that would be studied were the question of whether the exemptions in these bills were warranted and justified. Second, whether there should be some general fund monies used in this area in future sessions. And third, whether there in fact needs to be a bond required for professional fundraisers. Now, the latter portion of that would not be done in the bills, but just made a part of the record. The other portions are embodied in the amendments that are provided to the committee today.
Let me ask, I'm not sure if all members have received a copy of that revised fee schedule. Council, do you have that available, or has it been distributed?
Did I not give it to you? John, does that pretty well outline what we have agreed on?
John, why don't you come up and make sure we get you on the record?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am John Eby, Executive Vice President of Oregon Advocates for the Arts, and yes, Representative Bunn, I think that really very well outlines the agreement that we have come to. As I shared with the subcommittee, we are still very much concerned with the equity of the current situation, which allows some organizations to be exempted and others not to be exempted from the filing process and fee structure. I feel that that still needs to be examined, and the other issues that Representative Bunn has outlined also need to be examined. But this is a reasonable cap. It does eliminate the fixed assets from the fund balance portion of that fee structure for operating charities, so that those operating charities, whether they be arts organizations or social service organizations, are not paying a fee based on those facilities that they're providing services from. So we think that's a reasonable approach. And with that interim review, we're certainly satisfied with this kind of approach. So, thank you.
Okay. Representative Bond.
Mr. Chairman, I might just comment further. The original concept from the Attorney General's office was a recognition that they could come into this committee and indicate that they did not have to have the high filing fees that they had in the past. I mention that for the benefit of the remainder of the committee. These amendments do move us toward a position where we are very close, within $30,000 of the total amount they requested in their original proposal. There's a bit of a discrepancy between what we're suggesting and what Ways and Means has suggested, which puts the Attorney General's office in perhaps an awkward position between those two committees. And that's why I haven't specifically brought them into the process of this resolution of this issue.
Okay. Appreciate that work and explanation. We have before us the proposed amendments to House Bill 2216, which have been explained by Representative Bunn. And Representative Bunn moves the adoption of those amendments to House Bill 2216, which have been distributed to members. Is there further discussion on the amendments or questions? Any objection to those amendments? Not, they're adopted. Representative Bunn?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the amendments. Do you want that bill dealt with before we go to 2217?
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and do that?
Could I ask Rocky a question?
Sure.
Now that we've adopted those amendments, have we done away with the $100 cap and the other things that we adopted in the earlier action? Do you know, Ross, if the effect of the amendments is to do away with the adoption of our earlier amendments?
To the extent that it covers
the same issues, okay. There were other amendments that were adopted. Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, I would then move House Bill 2216 as amended to Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Dunn moves House Bill 2216 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Downey?
Aye. Bunn?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer? Aye. Motion's adopted. Okay, 2217. Council, I believe we've already had some discussion. This basically is a bill from Department of Justice that provides additional protection for the public in terms of solicitation for charitable purposes, and I believe we also have an amendment before us from Representative Bunn that speaks to the earlier or the fee portion, and it would be appropriate, I think, at this point to accept a motion from Representative Bunn to adopt those amendments to 2217.
Chairman, I would so move.
Thank you. Representative Bunn moves adoption of amendments to 2217 to bear the date 5/14/85. Is there any question or discussion regarding that amendment? Any objection to that amendment? If not, it's adopted. And I think the statements made previously by Mr. Eady and also by Representative Bunn apply as well to this bill. Representative Bunn would move the adoption of that the committee report 2217 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion or question about 2217? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Delaney?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Yepsey?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. I'd like to thank all the parties and Representative Dunn for their work on this issue, and to the extent that we can at this point assure that this will be the subject of an interim study, we are committed to do so. Okay, let's return to the top of our agenda. We've got 2258. Council?
Mr. Chair, this bill deals with the Justice Courts and the Justice of the Peace. We had a committee meeting a week ago. Representative Bellamy said the main purpose of this bill as amended was to set up an advisory committee to ensure that municipal courts and justice courts had a say in the court structure to settle on fee increases and settle on fees that were not provided for by statute, and also to allow for an interim study on a subject as far as we can commit. All the amendments were adopted, and this included the one by Representative Kopecky, which set up a county trust fund. And you have in front of you a set of amendments labeled LC 2258-5. Another set of amendments were worked by Representative Bunn, which would allow certain transfer of cases between Justice Court and District Court, most notably in Sonoma County.
Okay, is there a subsequent re-referral on this bill?
There is, but Representative Bellamy questioned whether or not it had to go to Ways and Means since we're dealing with Justice Courts. And perhaps somebody from the State Court Administrator's Office could speak to that.
Okay, we do have a representative from the State Court Administrator's Office. If you'd like to come forward and respond on that issue or see if there are any questions. Representative Bellamy?
Yeah, while he's getting ready, let me just state that if you will notice that on page 6 of the amendments, we get rid of the Minor Court Rules Committee, because that committee has not met for the last year. and the advisory committee to the Chief Justice will take place. All of those amendments on page 7, 8, 9, 10, and so forth deal with the responsibilities of the small court, what they call it, minor court rules committee. So by abolishing the minor court rules committee and transferring those duties to the advisory committee, to the Chief Justice, that's where those five pages of amendments come from.
Okay. And Council, these amendments need to be adopted at this time, is that correct? Representative Bond?
Could I comment just briefly on my portion of the amendments,
sure,
if that's appropriate? Representative Hanneman came to me and indicated that they had a need in Tillamook County that was somewhat unique. They have a new district court, a justice of the peace court that's been there for some years. When those two courts are badly out of balance, the district court is not heavily overloaded now. The district attorney, the district court, and the justice court have all agreed that it would be beneficial to shift some cases just temporarily from justice court to district court so that they don't have such a backlog in one court and that they can more effectively try the cases. The amendments provide that the justice court could transfer, if the district court accepts, there would be a sunset of January 87, so that this would only occur for a one-year period to balance those courts. It's a very temporary thing to help with the backlog problem. And I know there are some philosophical problems with doing that on a long-range basis, and that's why this was specifically sunsetted.
Thank you.
Further comment, I checked with Bill Linden from the Court Administrator's Office. He wanted to check with a few people and call back and indicated that they have no problem with this provision.
Thanks.
Representative Kopetsky.
Could I ask Representative Bond a question?
Sure.
That is on the fees. What was resolved in terms of the fee, court filing fee?
There's one further amendment that was included. This would be limited to criminal cases only, so that there would be no fee issue at all. The district court would lose no fees, and there would be no fiscal impact, therefore. It also provides that there be notice given to the defendant and a number of other procedural protections that we hadn't talked about in subcommittee.
Okay. Well, not all of us were in favor of the new district court in Tillamook County. However, I think notwithstanding that, we certainly want to make sure that it works efficiently. So are there any other questions or comments about the amendments? Are there any questions for
the Washington County have a JP court?
Representative Phillips, you want to respond to that?
Not publicly. Could I ask also?
Go ahead.
Mr. Bray, minor court rules committee, advisory committee, that's all right to get rid of that little group.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kopetsky, I am the executive secretary of the minor court rules committee, and that committee was not funded by the 1983 legislative assembly for the particular purpose that it was felt that its duties were now pretty much assumed by committees of the Oregon Judicial Conference. The 1983 Legislative Assembly did not repeal the section of ORS which left the committee in existence, however, and neither I or the chairman of the committee have any problem with that section being repealed now. Those duties are really adequately covered by the Oregon Judicial Conference through its committee structure, and it is my presumption that if this bill is enacted that the Judicial Conference committees, particularly the Special Courts Committee and the Education Committee, would continue to assume those duties.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any further questions for Mr. Bray? Representative Bellamy?
Would you agree that probably this bill will have a minor fiscal impact?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bellamy, as the bill is now written, I do not see any significant fiscal impact for the bill. I'm not sure where the referral to Ways and Means came from on this bill. It wasn't from our agency. We had given this bill a zero fiscal impact. 2981, as it was originally drafted, had a substantial fiscal impact. However, Representative Bellamy's amendments, which he pulled out of that bill and put into this bill, do not carry any of that impact over to this bill. So as far as I can tell, we see no significant impact at all, and very minor sorts of things, just to provide staff to the Special Courts Advisory Committee.
Okay, thank you. Are there any further questions for Mr. Bragg?
Mr. Chairman?
If not, Representative Bellamy?
Yes, I think we need to amend again,
yes,
right?
We need to adopt those amendments.
I would move to amend House Bill 2258 with Legislative Council amendments labeled 2258-5.
Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves the amendments to House Bill 2258, prepared by Legislative Council, House Bill 2258-5, 1585. So further discussion on the motion on the amendments? Any objection to the amendments? If not, they're adopted. Representative Bellamy?
I would move House Bill 2258 as amended to the floor do pass with the subsequent referral to Ways and Means rescinded.
Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2258 as amended to the floor to do pass recommendation, and further moves that the committee report rescind the prior referral to Ways and Means. Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Petsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Bellamy, would you like the honors on this?
I think I would.
Okay. We'll let you do the groundwork with the co-chairs of Ways and Means.
I will do that, yes.
Thank you. Okay. 2428.
Chairperson, we had a referral from full committee on May 8th this year. There was a motion to delete that portion of the bill which restricted grandparent visitations to dissolution, separations, and but that motion failed and it was brought back to the full committee as it was on May 1st. So as it stands now, the LC draft amendments 2428-3, the Kopetsky Bunn amendments are still approved by the committee.
Okay.
That's Kopetsky slash Bunn with a white gift.
That's not Bunn. Yeah,
okay, so the bill from the subcommittee has re-amended restores most, but not all of the original language. And do we have a further engrossed version of that bill before us, or are we working off the earlier?
We're working off the one from May 1st.
Okay. Are there any amendments that require consideration before the full committee?
No.
Okay. Representative Kadetsky?
I believe there is a little amendment, Mr. Chair.
Is that a secret, or do you want to share it with us?
Well, I have here House Bill 2428 and already adopted. Amendments that are included in the bill, correct? Yep. And I think there's an interest on the chief sponsor's part, Representative Bellamy, to delete the First Amendment, which has to do with limiting this to marital annulment, dissolution, and separation. And that's found on page 1, lines 11 and 15. And in essence, the effect of deleting that language would allow grandparents to come in and see visitation rights in non-dissolution situation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I know Representative Kopensky brings this up only to embarrass me. If he remembers right, I tried that amendment and it failed. Are you suggesting I try it again?
Well, I'm uncomfortable making that amendment philosophically, Representative Bellamy, and I'm not suggesting or encouraging any other member of the committee to make any motion whatsoever. We all are elected and get to do whatever we so desire here.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I will move full committee to amend House Bill 2428, further amend House Bill 2428. Where's the right line?
It's lines 11 and 15.
Oh, here it is. Okay. Lines 11 and 15, by inserting the words for marital annulment, dissolution, or separation.
Okay, why don't you review that with counsel? Were those prepared by legislative counsel, or are they?
I believe these were Representative Kopensky's amendments at the first board session in April.
Okay, counsel or Representative Bellamy, could I ask you to repeat the motion, and then we'll make sure we understand the intent and the effect of the motion.
The effect of the motion is to, on page 1, on lines 11 and 15, to delete the words Hannibal Jarnoldo's for marital moment, dissolution, and separation.
Okay. Is everyone tracking on that? Any question about the amendments? And again, the effect of this would be to permit a grandparent to have standing in court basically at any time, not whether or not there's an action for dissolution or separation or annulment, to raise the issue of visitation. Is that correct? Okay. Representative Bellamy so moves. Is there further comment or discussion? Clerk will call the roll on Representative Bellamy's amendment.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Gill?
Aye.
Nefsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
No.
Burton votes no. Burton votes no. Motion is adopted. Are there further amendments?
Mr. Chair, can I change my vote? We were voting on the amendment to include them.
The amendment has the effect of returning to the original language of the bill. Is there any objection to Representative Peterson being recorded as a no vote on that last vote? If not, the record shall still reflect that vote. And the motion is successful, 6-3. Are there further amendments? Is there further discussion? Is there a motion on the bill as amended?
Mr. Chair, I move to send House Bill 2428 to the floor as amended. Do pass.
Thank you. Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2428 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Can I give a vote explanation now, or?
After the vote.
Aye.
Gill?
Aye.
Stransky?
As you said.
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
No. Motion's adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burton.
Vote explanation, if I may. The intent of legislation, as I understood it originally, and I am on the bill, was to give the opportunity for grandparents who had found themselves in situations of divorce cases to get access. Apparently, in signing under that bill in its original form, I misunderstood the intent of it, and I think we, by passing it in its original form, were opening up for litigation to a degree that I wouldn't have dreamed possible. So I think while the idea certainly of grandparent rights is one that I support, the degree to which we just passed this bill is not one that I feel very comfortable with. So I'm torn. I will vote yes on the main bill, but I think we're opening ourselves up for some problems.
Okay, are there any further comments on the bill? We will contact Representative Campbell. I would assume that he would...